start referring to the Los Angeles Master Chorale. Penny Evans writes, wow, that makes a wonderful change from pop music on the radio. Breathtaking, she says. And the choir was truly wonderful. I think we'd agree. And probably worth a couple of extra minutes when, before we turn to our ace young writer, young adult writer, and the person who actually said it's going to be Sarah Bullimore and the gang. You see, she predicted that there'd be more than just yourself, Sarah.
She predicted
that Catherine Feeney would be there. She's on the case. She's Georgia Twynham. How are you, Georgia?
I'm very well. I was just singing along to Shania Twain. I'm so glad that stopped and I realised that it stopped because it could have been really embarrassing for all of us.
Well, you see, that's the sing-along sounds that we actually have. In fact, we're already working on the Midweek Drive sing-along musical, which I'm sure Ellie would be able to promote excessively, wondrously well for us in every sense of the word. And we'll go to that. Phil Leonis has also said that we're all set to go back to Los Angeles as well from that point of view. So brilliant stuff there. Anyway, Sarah, would you like to share with us and the listener how effectively the Lincoln Inspired Festival is just that little bit more special when Georgia Twynham's on board?
Oh, it is definitely. I've been working with Georgia for many years now, and Georgia in herself, she is one of our patrons, our school's patron and young person's patron, and she is so incredibly inspiring. Last year she went to lots of schools and worked with loads of children and done a lot of work across Lincolnshire working with all the young people. But her enthusiasm and her energy is the ethos of Lincoln Inspired.
I think she could actually take 900 American school children.
She could, quite easily.
And inspire them. That's the kind of level. You know, we might have balked when Grant Gershon was saying 900. I mean, I sort of had momentary twitches there back to the days of comprehensive teaching from my own point of view. I thought, you know, there's a way forward, 900.
Yeah. Only 900?
And that's why women rule the world. But never mind. Yeah, this is a different line. Anyway, can we reveal what Georgia's going to be?
We can reveal.
You can. Okay.
Georgia, do you want to reveal what
you're Georgia, doing? Reveal what you're going to be doing for the festival.
Okay, I feel like this should be some doors opening, like stars in your eyes and this is some smoke. We are doing the official launch of my fourth book, The Awakening, on the 8th of May at 1:30 in the Drill Hall. It's my first big event, what I would call a big event in a Drill Hall, 360 seats to fill, so that's going to be exciting. My mum already owns one of them, so that's good. And everybody who comes will get a unique piece of work that I've written for the event, so it will be exclusive to those guys.
Let's just hold it there, because, you know, she's absolutely right, Georgia. I mean, you can't just slip this out. You've got to have a full routine. So I'll actually say we will now find out what exactly Georgia Twynham is actually doing for the official 2014 Lincoln-inspired event in Lincoln, Lincolnshire, England, for the magical world of Georgia Twynham, young adult writer extraordinaire. Georgia, the floor is yours.
If I'd known, I would have put my boxing gloves on. I would have. I could feel that rocky moment coming.
Oh.
Yeah. It will be a huge party. Inspiration, celebration, kids getting books signed, postcards, unique piece of written work, just embracing everything that is inspired. That's what it'll be. And it's £1 a ticket, and you can order them from Sarah.
That is ridiculous. Outrageous.
Yeah.
Ellie, will you be going?
Oh, gosh,
I'll be
yes.
There, yeah.
Mm, yeah.
Oh, right, okay.
No, I'll definitely be there. I think Georgia's books are brilliant. And, I mean, my question for Georgia is, what was your inspiration for The Awakening?
Who's that?
Oh, it's Ellie. Ellie from the University of Lincoln.
Hello, Ellie from the University of Lincoln.
Hello.
I was like, I don't recognise her voice. What was my inspiration for The Awakening? My inspiration for The Awakening was I really wanted to write something during the Civil War. I really wanted my characters to get dirty and grubby and exist in a time where they could be completely freaked out by everything and yet it'd be really challenging and a good battle scene, take it back, strip it back to the basics. So almost taking the sci-fi out of it again and bringing back in the witchcraft side more intensely. Mm-hmm. So that was my thing was, I wanted to make them all roll around in dirt and suffer and question, can I eat this? Is it safe? you know, is this water all right? And yeah, it was. And I live near Rockingham Castle, mm-hmm. Which makes it very easy to get into the mood of the Civil War. So it's quite good.
Whilst we've actually been talking, I've just actually liked you on Facebook, Georgia. I realise I hadn't done it before, but
yeah,
I have.
I just got that friend request. Yeah. A minute, let me like you.
Oh, Ma, so you accepted my friend request. That's wow.
Anybody else listening, just send me one.
Gabriella, would you like to send a friend request in to Georgia Twiner?
Yeah, I'll do it right now, actually.
Gabriella, our girl from Gibraltar, spreading the word. She's getting her equipment out to actually sort of send. She's wonderful. James, would you be sending a friend request?
Well, unfortunately, my phone is very basic, but if you'll accept.
Exactly.
You shouldn't admit that in public.
No.
So,
I'm not ashamed.
Catherine, questions, because obviously you do a completely different style of writing to Georgia.
Yeah. Yes, I do. I mean, I'm very interested to ask Georgia about young adult writing, because, I mean, when I was in my teens, basically there was children writing and then there was adults writing and there wasn't really much in between. And yet this seems to be just a growing genre and very popular. I mean, where do you think it originated from, and how is it that it's becoming so popular? There's obviously a gap there to be filled.
I think it's because I couldn't do it good enough for adults, really.
Oh, nonsense.
No, I mean, writing for children and young people. I mean, I've always thought that was just, you know, so difficult.
When I wrote The 13th, I gave it to someone and said, what do you think? And they said, oh, that's a teenager's book. And I was like, okay.
Yeah,
And that was genuinely, it was that simple. I just write, I have a mental age of about 12. And I write what I think is fun and exciting, and I don't have the capacity, I don't think, to write for adults in the sense that I couldn't get that serious about anything. I really couldn't. So I tend to write adventure and fast pace. I loved Flash Gordon as a child. I loved Star Wars. I love anything to do with science fiction. I just haven't grown up yet.
Oh, well, so you have to get yourself into the mindset of the reader and...
Yeah, you do, don't you? I mean, being a writer yourself, you have to be in that space, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're writing, you're both reader and writer in a sense, because you're anticipating a response, aren't you?
Yeah, and you've just got to be able to sit in those shoes and say, how do I feel? You know, and honestly, I don't even read adult books that often, because I just sort of go, boring, you know. When's somebody going to get their head cut off?
I mean, how often, James, as an undergraduate, you come around with that question? Indeed, in seminars.
When does someone get the doing history? I'm going to know pretty much all the time.
Precisely.
Always.
Yeah, it's like a nightmare over there. Georgia, I'm going to bowl a little suggestion here. Okay. Sarah's sort of looking at me from that side, from the other side of the studio. But I'm thinking, as you're a keen SF fan. And obviously so is our other wonderful friend, the fabulous John Jarrold, which is great. And, of course, SFX magazine is one of our key folk. And it's the Year of Science, etc. What do you think about coming down and joining us as we actually cover the return of Worldcon, the World Science Fiction Convention that's coming up in August? Do you think you'd be up for that?
I think I would be up for that.
Hey, you see. What do you think, Sarah?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Keep the SF fame thing
on the end. I'm up for.
There we are. Exactly. So it's genius stuff there. How can people get hold of Georgia Twine and books? I mean, you are a hugely best-selling author, but are they available online and all the rest of bits and pieces, Georgia?
Yeah, you can get them in Waterstones. Mm. You can also get them on Amazon. You can download them on your Kindle. Mm. And also, there are masses of copies in Lincolnshire libraries. So you can get them completely for free from your library.
And I've got to actually say that your update on January 25th, for me, it's actually won the award already this year in terms of the best photograph I've actually seen on the ring. You can't see me. I am the invisible hamster.
Yes. I think he's my book companion. And when I walk in the room sometimes and he's out, he'll just freeze. Like, I can't see him.
Those invisible hamsters, they're all... In fact, I would say, Ellie, next time you see Julie Corden, which should be in the very near future, because obviously in the same sort of say, Julie, invisible hamster, if you like that.
Julie is an invisible hamster.
Gabriella already online.
She freezes when I walk in the room.
Oh,
she's like, oh.
Bless her heart. Judy Corden was actually one of our first co-pilots on the Midrick Drive, you know.
Really?
Yeah, she, in fact, I might even be able to actually locate an official Judy Corden jingle if I actually sort of work through this. Meanwhile, Gabriella, have you successfully managed to like
the whole thing? Accepted.
Multitasking, you see?
Yeah.
I mean, there are people who actually say, yeah, I can't actually do a media interview and actually accept friend requests at the same time. But, you know, yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Give me 900 children. Nothing. Easy.
Clearly. This is the whole sort of sequence from that point of view. Okay, last two questions for Georgia Twynham, please. Sarah.
Have you had a good conversation with us today, Georgia?
I have. This is the most fun we've had in ages, isn't it?
I know, it's fantastic.
This is, like, not serious, like, normally. No, this is excellent.
And can we look forward to having you back on Siren FM soon? Lots of times before Inspired.
I love coming on Siren FM. You know me. It's, you know, right from years ago I've been with Siren FM, supporting Siren FM. I love you all. I think you're awesome. So anytime you want.
It's like an Academy Awards ceremony. It's wonderful.
Like to thank.
Yeah, exactly. And most especially, the invisible hamster. Genius.
His name is actually PewDiePie.
His name is?
PewDiePie.
Well, that's it. You know, follow that, Phil Leonis.
Tomlinson, actor, horse racing commentator and voice-over artiste, proudly presenting the Midweek Drive's regular 6:30 p.m. correspondent. Whether he's in his PJs or not, the truth is out there, director extraordinaire, Mr. Phil Leonis!
Yay! You get the Los Angeles Master Chorale to do something on that basis. How are you, Phil Leonis?
I'm excellent. Even though I'm not in my pajamas, I am, in fact, fully dressed and on the job. But it's cold and it's a little drizzly out, so maybe I should, you know, even though I'm in the office, why not just change into pajamas, put on a bathrobe, and hunker down?
Drizzly in Los Angeles, eh? Shock horror.
I mean, which is exactly how you, of course, host the show, as I know, so...
Yeah, well, you will be returning, and I'm sure in the very near future, maybe even this year, Phil, you might be joining the Lincoln Inspired team. Anyway, I trust you've been paying attention, so I don't need to do a reprise for the benefit of yourself, but maybe you'd like to actually talk about the fine, fabulous quintet of quality we actually have had on the programme today. So wonderful they've been that actually Ed Wellman has had to listen outside. I mean, there was a place for Ed, you know, we would have sat him on James's knee or possibly Gabriella's knee or something, or vice versa. Anyway, moving on from that, where do you want to go first, Phil Leonis? Because Catherine Feeney said, what's Phil going to talk about then? Whatever he wants to, Catherine, is our official line, really.
Well, I'm excited about actually this idea that you brought up at the end of the previous segment about going and covering Worldcon.
Yes. Yeah, it is.
I mean, that is quite exciting, and because we always love when you do remote segments, audio postcards, as they're known in the biz.
You got our little London report, did you, with special Phil Leonis mentions by Louis Savvy in Sci-Fi London then?
I love it. I love, especially because I was tagged in the photos and so many people have expressed concern about the change in my appearance, thinking that I, in fact, was Louis Savvy.
Easily confused. You know? It's twins separated at birth, surely.
Brothers from another mother, indeed. There could be no kinder compliment. Actually, how about I share this little slightly embarrassing story with you and the people there in the booth, and I'll ask the audience.
The booth? The booth? You've been in here? What do you think this is? Some sort of... How many people you can fit into the whole thing? Studio 1A.
Exactly. It's like a clown car. Come on. It's the radio equivalent of a clown car. but I just ask the listeners at home or in their office or on the road, wherever they may be, to just turn away from the speakers because it's kind of an embarrassing little story. As you know, I love taking public transportation anywhere I am. I was thinking about this just again yesterday, that I come up with some of my best ideas when I'm allowed to get away from the phone, get away from email, and just be on a bus or a train where no one has the right to expect that I will be responding or answering. And this was all, has always been a plan that's worked out brilliantly. And then yesterday I'm getting on a bus, and getting ready to pay my fare, and the bus driver says, it's only 55 cents. And I said, well, when did it go down? I thought it's always been $1.50. When did it go down? And the bus driver says, it's always been 55 cents for senior citizens.
45 English years you've been on the planet, and now he's classified exactly. In Los Angeles. Yeah. What is it about Americans and this obsession with youth, for goodness sakes? Wasted on them.
I know. So I had to, you know, shame the person by saying, I will definitely keep that in mind when I become a senior citizen in 20 years.
don't wear that bathrobe, maybe.
And then
not the pajamas when you go out.
But going out completely naked is totally outside the question. And so one needs the bathrobe, but when one does what I do, which is wander around waving at passing cars, yes. So anyway, the good news is I refuse to pay anything in the wake of that.
Outrageous.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
And of course, the bus driver was so flustered and embarrassed, you know, that anyway. So that, I don't know where that came from, except in its own way, that's a little time travel story, I guess. But I love the idea of Worldcon. I didn't even know there was such a thing in August, you're saying.
Yes, indeed.
Anyway. Because when is Lincoln Inspired? Lincoln Inspired is in May, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, go on, Sarah. It's time, because a couple of years ago, Phil was over for Sci-Fi London, but Sci-Fi London really overlaps with Lincoln Inspired,
yeah.
And as we've said, we're looking to actually sort of kidnap Phil from London and bring him up to Lincoln Inspired, and probably the university as well, because I know you've offered, you know, interns all sorts of other bits and pieces.
Well, this is it.
Yes, there's a slight wrinkle in plans, which is I'll be here in Los Angeles all during May producing a show for Dean Haglund in SciFest, the month-long theater festival. Dean, in addition to being in one of the plays as an actor, is launching a brand new one-man live improv show that he will be doing for several weeks at this festival, and we already have a distribution deal in place to bring this improv show to audiences around the world, so I need to be directing and producing that. As it turns out. However, so that's the sad news, missing Lincoln Inspired, of course, and Sci-Fi London. The exciting news is that we will begin at the end of that month, in earnest, shooting Truth Is Out There 2, the sequel to our epic documentary, the deals for which are closing as we speak, well, later, once I'm off the radio. And so then we'll start traveling again. And that will bring me, I'm sure, more than once, several times, to your fair shores.
I actually introduced the Lincoln Imp to Phil Leonis when he was actually here a couple of years ago, and many people have said it's never been the same since. The 72nd World Science Fiction...
You promised me that you weren't going to refer to Katie Grimason as the Lincoln Imp.
Yeah, but you know, she's actually interning with Sarah Bullimore at this moment, isn't she?
She is. Yeah. She's working very hard.
Exactly. Yes, the 72nd World Science Fiction Convention takes place on Thursday the 14th of August to Monday the 18th of August. And as I say, it's obviously Colette Court, London. LonCon 3 is a World Science Fiction Convention, and worldcon.org is the go-to place for that. But Ellie, there are lots of good, marvellous, wondrous things that you have scheduled for the Year of Science, our science park at the University of Lincoln, and other marvellous things that, as Director of Communications Development and Marketing for the University of Lincoln, you'd like to share with Phil and the world.
Well, exactly. You don't have to go to London for sci-fi. You can stay here in Lincoln. We've got a planetarium coming as part of the Year of Science. We've got Chris Packham from Springwatch coming in March to do a talk as part of our Great Minds Lecture Series. We've got Lord Robert Winston coming to do a talk. Nicholas Parsons, the king of sci-fi, I believe.
Well, you say that. He was actually in the original Gerry Anderson series, Four Feather Falls, where he was the voice of the sheriff. But as that was mostly a Western series by puppets, I think you're stretching it to say science fiction.
But whatever, you know.
But we are the land of sci-fi, really, aren't we? Because, I mean, we talked about Joseph Banks earlier, but of course we also have links with Newton and Boyle. So science actually comes
from. Let's not forget
Lincoln.
George Boole, without whom the whole computer system would never work.
There would be no multi-platform.
Exactly.
There would be no computers. There would be no sci-fi. There would be no robots.
No
without
Boolean logic.
George Boole. It there all comes from Lincoln.
There you have it, you see. I hope that's put you right of matters, Phil Leonis, for the next Truth Is Out There segment, and indeed, of course, the excitements of chillpackhollywood.com.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm feverishly on the phone with my travel agent right now as we speak. I was reminded, Alex, and I thought you might get a kick out of this. Actor Alec Baldwin, with whom I've worked before, had a very short-lived talk show recently on MSNBC, a news network here in the United States, and he got fired allegedly due to some controversial statements he made out in public. The truth is, the ratings for the show were terrible, and the network was not happy with him. And one of the reasons they were not happy with him was when they hired him to be the host of this show, they expected he would reach out to his big-name Hollywood friends to be guests on this show. Mm-hmm. And instead, as they said, he reached out to the likes of Keir Dulay and Gary Lockwood.
Unbelievable. It's a space
odyssey.
That's
who they singled out. That's who they singled out as being a problem. And I demand to know, isn't that all you need for a show? Keir Dulay and Gary Lockwood, come on. Every show should.
Could they not have done a musical of Daisy, Daisy, Give Me Your Answer Do, and had the HAL 2000 being disconnected live on the whole thing? At least work it through.
Oh my God, just Gary Lockwood playing a game of computer chess? I mean, that's entertainment for minutes. Right there.
Well, maybe this is a three-dimensional chess, or indeed perhaps, but your moment is fading. Penny Evans needs some good wishes from us, because she's going to get one of her cover songs aired tomorrow night on the Night Flight show, which is on another radio station, but we thought we mentioned that. Also, she's getting together with her husband Pete, and they're entering a singing competition in Chesterfield next month. She's also applied for a job in Manchester because they're looking for a Kate Bush-style singer.
So, she's everywhere. I mean, she's everywhere music can be found.
Would love some.
I can't believe though that she's debuting a song on a show other than the Midweek Drive. I mean, that seems.
would love some luck from my friends
on the highest order.
On the Midweek Drive. Shall we wish Penny Evans good luck?
Good luck.
There we are. It's marvellous. Okay, moving on. Catherine, the question's for Phil Leonis.
I was interested to hear about your big sci-fi event. I mean, what are the sort of leading acts or the leading speakers that you've got coming up to that?
It's unlike anything that's ever been done before. It's called SciFest, and it's, as far as we know and have been able to ascertain, it's the first of its type anywhere in the world. It is a month-long theater festival, much like a fringe festival. It's all science fiction short plays.
All right.
And people are kind of stunned when you tell them that, yes, in fact, there are many, many one-act plays that have been written within the science fiction genre. Many of them have been scarcely produced because people think, oh, science fiction on stage, that makes no sense. Yet no less a personage than Ray Bradbury wrote countless science fiction plays, and in fact spent most of his time over the last several decades running his own theater here in Southern California. So we've got plays by the like of Ray Bradbury, Ursula K. Le Guin.
Oh,
we've
wow.
got notable sci-fi actors, as well as just, quite frankly, talented actors, period, because that's really what they should be known as. In these, we've got acclaimed directors doing these pieces. And if that weren't enough, and by gosh, don't you think it ought to be, we are debuting Dean Haglund's new improv.
It sounds absolutely fantastic. I mean, it's just something I'd love to be able to attend, because, I mean, sci-fi on stage, you know, as you say, it's not something that's had a lot of coverage before.
I think
we might be able
to appropriate it. What do you think, Ellie? Maybe look at getting some spin-offs here in Lincoln?
Oh, God, yeah. Mm-hmm. I can definitely see opportunities here in Lincoln. Can I ask a question?
Of course.
Okay, can I ask, please, Phil, who would your ideal dinner guest be for your dinner party? If you were going to have a sci-fi dinner party, who would your best people be to invite?
Just alive or deceased?
It can be anyone. It can be sort of Gandalf. It can be...
Gandalf?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Are we speaking... So they're fictional characters that I'm inviting to my dinner party?
Yes,
Because quite frankly, that makes it like every other dinner party I already have.
It could be really good, though.
I was hoping that I would have actually the opportunity to speak to some real people for a change. science fiction. Well, you know what? I would have loved... Now, I once got to meet him because I was friends with his son. I would have loved to have had Carl Sagan at a dinner party. I actually went to a Los Angeles Lakers basketball game with him when I was in college and did not take advantage fully of the opportunity to have him explain everything that's going on in the universe to me. But you know what? I actually, one person that I would love to sit and chat with would actually be Leonard Nimoy, who played Spock, and I would love to talk to him about photography and astronomy, and he's such a great contributor to he put up all the money to redesign the Griffith Observatory in our planetarium here, which is a legacy that might make him be remembered long after Star Trek is forgotten, and I think that's quite extraordinary. Who else would be? Aldous Huxley. I mean, I'm assuming I can pick from any. It's science fiction, right? I mean, there's a time machine involved.
You can have anyone, actually. It's your dinner party.
I would say that I would invite H.G. Wells, except that probably he's already had dinner with me, and he pretended to be someone else, you know, when he was on one of his research missions to the future. Who else would I love?
Would you have any ladies? Would you have any ladies there?
They'd all be green slave girls.
Orion slave girls.
Cyan.
I'll give you 26.
Wow, that was the best setup I've had in years in show business. That was fantastic.
We'll give you 26, but, you know, 26 seconds, Phil, just to actually squeeze in our Mike Dooley thought from the universe.
Whenever conferring with another, either face-to-face or across the miles, whether a human being, departed spirit, or sentient tree, always speak to the highest within them. Makes such a difference. Amen. The universe. Yeah, as if some trees weren't sentient. Glad you caught that.
Just in case you were thinking of not inviting a tree to you. It could be an ant, of course, going Gandalf way. Stop. Right, moving on. Anything else you'd like to say, Phil? I mean, Gabriella's been very quiet because she's been tucked away just keeping his monitor. How's it been going there, Gabriella, behind the screen?
Yes, hidden in the corner, but it's great.
So, all right, we'll be full force back tomorrow morning ever since the words. James, any questions for Phil?
Actually. In regards to science fiction stage, do you think in a couple of years that'll become a sort of facet of popular culture?
I'm glad you asked that. I actually, just as a fan, I would hope so, but also as a storyteller, it seems to me to be a brilliant match now. For the longest time, I think science fiction could really take hold in film, although it was obviously treated as B-pictures for a long time. But it was such a beautiful match because of the way that film uniquely plays with time. And uses the language of dreams, and this could be brilliant for exploring science fiction themes. But now what I have found is that audiences who go to theater are far more open to the surreal, for experimentation with time, for shifts in perspective. When an audience goes to a live event, they're actually, it's flipped entirely. Decades ago, you went to the theater expecting it to be a more, quote-unquote, realistic depiction of life, especially where time is concerned. And now I find that audiences go to live events really hoping for something that embodies this kind of dream language that I think that science fiction uniquely explores. And so I think it's a brilliant marriage, and maybe it won't be 2 years, but it certainly will happen.
Interesting that J.B. Priest, of course, with Time and the Hendersons, and I've been here before, actually often played around with time in his particular stage productions, so you might not perhaps expect that. What can we say? Cameron Tilbury, Anna Lewis, Arthur Weingarten, Grant Gershon, Georgia Twynham, and Phil Leonis. We salute you from that perspective. Sarah, final plug with respect to Lincoln Inspired. This has been the end of the sort of Lincoln Inspired takeover show. Peace.
It has. Thank you very much. And everyone, go check out the website, lincolninspired.co.uk, and
like Facebook.
Watch the space next week for when we reveal. Yeah,
exactly. Tomorrow morning, it's the Lincolnshire Show takeover, or midnight in Los Angeles. Gabriella, last two questions for Phil Leonis, please.
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today, Philip?
Alex promised that we were going to make radio magic, and of course I was concerned that meant it was going to make me disappear, but it has been absolutely magical.
And will you be connecting with us again, hopefully next week?
Absolutely, wouldn't miss it.
Great.
Gabriella Peralta, Sarah Bullimore, James Kaysen, Ellie Sample, and the fabulous Catherine Feeney. Have you enjoyed the programme?
Very much, very much.
Good. Ellie?
Super, loved it. Brilliantly hosted.
Oh, my word. Back again then sometime in the near future?
Of course, whenever you need.
There we are, James and Sarah and Gabriella, thank you. It's time to say bye-bye. Can we say bye-bye?
Bye.
See you.
Bye.
Bye.